Oh, Father, I'm just in awe of who you are this morning. Lord, I just want to declare that I love you, Lord. I love you so much, Lord God, and we love you, Lord. We just want to know and experience more of you, Lord. Lord, as that man said, Duncan Campbell, we want to be saturated with you, Lord. We want to be saturated with you. And Lord, as I just experience and the words are confirming it, that you want to pour your Spirit mightily upon us, Lord. And we just say, yes, Holy Spirit, come, Lord, come. We praise you, we welcome you. We surrender to you in every area of our life this morning, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that your word says that the good news is not about talk, but it's about power. It's not about the knowledge of men, but it's the power of God. And Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank you that you said it was to our advantage that you had to go to the Father, because you'll send us another helper, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being present here with us. Thank you that you change lives, Lord, that you speak to us. Lord, that we can know that before you created the heavens and the earth, the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. And then you said, let there be light. That where your Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, Lord. And that we can have the freedom to come into your presence. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brian. If I'm going to fall over at any stage, it's nothing weird. I'm just extremely tired. We had a great week this week. Last Saturday was our first encounter too. And then I preached in Franz Hook on Sunday morning and evening service. And then Tuesday we had I taught Bible school. And Wednesday night our encounter one series, which was awesome. The presence of God was amazing. It was so great to hear the testimonies and to see what God has been doing in people's lives. You were either being prayed for, or you were praying for someone, or you were praying to God. And I wanted to be finished at the 9:30. And 9:29 I was finished, and people left only at 11 o'clock. But God was moving and lives were changing. Then that was Wednesday. Then Friday morning we had a good prayer session. And Saturday encounter two again. And this morning I'm preaching, and Tuesday I'm doing Bible school again. So then I'm going to rest for a while. But the words is confirming my message this morning about a place, and we've seen dreams and visions of tsunamis coming and an outpouring of something. And I believe it's spiritual. And I want to show you a clip of what happened to Angus Buchan in 2012 during the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a feast that the Jewish people have. It was in the Ein Gedi Desert. It hasn't rained for 18 years up to that time. They didn't know wind in that area. So when this happened, people were really thrown, because this is not the Strand, when it blows all the time. When this happened, what I'm going to show you, and Angus Buchan, when he read the scripture that I want to preach on, something amazing happened. So I just want you to look at this. Before we show the clip, can I just ask the ushers to hand out the communion, that we can do communion just after the clip as well. Thank you.
Emotional tonight, because I am speaking to you in the most holy place in the world. I am speaking to you from Jesus' country. People are praying for you all over the world tonight. God is going to meet with you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have seen him move the weather. He is the weather man. I have seen him raise the sick, heal the brokenhearted. And tonight we're going to ask years ago to send His Holy Spirit like a mighty wind. I will never ever limit God again. I want to read to you about what happened in the upper room in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And I've been praying, Lord, do it again. Do it once more, Jesus. Do it in Engedi. Do it on the 30th of September 2012. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders. Folks, it is the time for miracles. This is a miracle time. They shall prophesy and show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then those who gladly received His word. That was Peter's first sermon. Peter was the man that was too scared to speak. His first sermon after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, the Bible says about 3,000 souls were added to them in that day. And this is the word of the Lord. And to His name be praise and honor and glory now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Can you feel that breeze? Can you feel the wind? Wherever Jesus went, it was either a riot or a revival.
The wires at the back started burning. There was rain that came, fire came. All three of those are signs of the Holy Spirit. But the scripture I'm going to read to you is in Acts 1 and Acts 2, where Jesus, this was just after He got crucified, He got all His disciples together, the guys that was following Him. They came together and He said, we're going to have our last meal together. Then Jesus washed their feet and He said, go and do the same. He said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back soon. I'm giving you a promise of the Holy Spirit that will come and He will help you and you will do greater things than I have done. But don't be afraid. I'll come back soon for you. I'll be there. And they had bread together and they had the Last Supper with the Lord Jesus Christ together. And for me, as we eat this bread, I just want you to think of the last moments that they were together, that when they ate the bread and they drank the wine, they didn't expect what was going to happen. But what was going to happen was that Jesus was crucified and He died. And their whole life, everything that they expected was thrown completely. They were completely thrown off guard. They didn't know what was going to happen. Everything that they put their hope in suddenly died in front of them. So their emotions must have been from up there, because Jesus did all these miracles. He made all these people's lives change. He walked on water. Lazarus just been raised from the dead. People were saying, this is the Messiah, the one that we've been prophesied for over 3,000 years. And now, the next moment, he dies. So, Jesus on the cross. Let's eat. The blood of the Lamb. Let's drink. Yes, Lord, we just want to thank you that we can know that when you died on the cross, you paid the price for every one of us. Every one of us deserves to pay a price for the sins in our lives. But you took that punishment on you. You were tempted in every way like we were. Yet you never sinned. And you took and you paid the price for us by your blood so that we can walk in freedom in Jesus' name. We just want to thank you, Lord God, for the price that you've paid for us and that we can accept that free gift that you've given us by faith because of your grace, because of your love for us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, the book of Acts is written by a guy called Luke. Luke was a follower of Paul. He was a doctor. He was a well-learned man. And he wrote the letter of Luke and the letter to Acts of Acts. And he took all the facts. He investigated all the facts. And he wrote it to a guy, Theophilus, who was a Greek, probably a very well-known man. The facts that he's given corresponds to facts of the time that was given by other people who were not Christians, who were Gentiles, who were Romans. So we can have confidence in the fact that Jesus did walk the earth, that he was crucified, and that he was raised from the dead by all the facts that is given from the Bible, but also from external sources as well. So we can have confidence in that. And I think this is very important for all of us that we know that our faith is not on the things that we think and we have to believe, but we believe in actual facts, actual things that really happened. So when Luke writes, he says, I've carefully written the facts that he needs to know, that Theophilus had to know. Jesus Acts starts with where Jesus is saying to his disciples, his followers, men, go to the upper room, go to this house and wait there for the promise that I've talked to you, that I've told you about, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father that will come. This is in verse 4. Because John baptized you in water, but I will baptize you, the Father will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So go and wait for that. And what for me is very is interesting, at that stage they didn't have a clue what to expect. But they were expecting because they went to the upper room and they were waiting. It was 120 of them were waiting for something that they didn't know what it would look like. Verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses in all those different places. Now, Reinhard Bonnke said something very interesting. He said, the power is not for a bodybuilder to become strong and to show his muscles, and he can't go home and pick up his own baby. That the power is given for us as Christians to be his witnesses, to be the hands and feet of Christ wherever we go. But there is power that will be given to us to be his witnesses. Also, you will know, you will not wonder, you will know, you will experience the power. And this is something that I wanted to show you here, that it's not something that you have in faith. I believe there's power. When the power of God is there, you know it. It's there. Verse 8, the power of God. There was in 1727, this church, the Moravian church in the Czech Republic, and they were Protestants, and the Czech Republic became a Roman Catholic country. So they were persecuted for being Protestants, and they had to flee in different places. In Hernhut, this Hernhut, a man with the name of Vin Zinzendorf, he invited some of these Moravian church members to come to his property, to live on his property. And soon they became about 300 people that had church there and that they lived together. But they were from different denominations, different languages, different they had a different view of the Bible. So there was lots of disunity amongst them. They were all wanting their own theories, their own way of doing things. So there was a lot of infighting amongst them. And this man, von Zinzendorf, said, "Guys, you must pray together." And they came together and they started praying. And soon they grew to 600 people as they started praying. Then the Holy Spirit fell very powerfully upon these people and they started praying. Just there was something in them. They just were compelled to pray. And there was a deep conviction of sin, of love, of unity in the Spirit, of caring for one another, of being together. And 24 men and 24 women decided that they were going to pray together for 1 week. 7 days, 24 hours. So two pray for 1 hour, then two pray for the next hour for that week. God's Spirit came so powerfully upon them that they continued that prayer group for 125 years. 24 hours. Soon they grew to 77 people coming together to pray. They planted another church in Hernhaag, where from that church, after a year, they sent out 200 missionaries all over the world because of this prayer that was inspired. That the Hernhut Church had sent out in the first year 70 missionaries to different countries because it was all inspired with prayer. In the first 25 years, this church sent out 3,000 missionaries all over the world. John Wesley was influenced by one of these Moravian people. He was in a storm. This boat was, they thought they were going to sink. And this man was just so confident in his faith with Jesus that Wesley said, "God, I don't know you." And he went back and he prayed until because he said, "God, I can't preach if I don't know you like this man do." So there were so many people's lives. And I want to speak about the Moravian influence in another sermon again, of people's lives being changed because of this church of 300 people that grew to 600 people. They sent more missionaries out into the world than the whole Protestant movement the previous 300 years. Together in 25 years. They were inspired by prayer when the Holy Spirit came mightily upon these people. In verse 9, Acts 1, as Jesus was talking to these people, they were looking at him and suddenly he started going up into heaven. And they look at him as Jesus is taking into heaven. And these two men, two angels stand to them and says, "This Jesus, as he's going up, he will be coming down." I don't know if you heard I think it's Australia where this man is saying he's Jesus and he's married to Mary Magdalene. You can know he's a fake because Jesus, when he comes back, it will be from the top. We will know. All of us will know. And what I just wanted to say with this verse as well, whenever we talk about the power of God, our focus must never go away from Jesus. Our focus must always be on Jesus and getting to know Him. And whenever I looked at different revivals, it was because people had a desire to meet Jesus when God poured out His Spirit. And all the signs and wonders was to confirm who Jesus is. So there was this, Jesus said to them to go together, and all the disciples came together. They went to the upper room, and verse 14, they were in one accord and devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And the brothers there in Greek can mean brothers and sisters. So previously, Jesus' brothers and sisters were very anti him. You probably would be as well if your older brother says he's Jesus. But after they seen him been resurrected from the dead, they knew he was the Messiah. So they are there as well. These people were they were thrown, they were lost. Then Jesus appeared to them. Suddenly they are in one accord. It was not something they forced. It was something because they saw the power of God. They came together and they started praying. Jesus was risen into heaven or ascended into heaven 40 days after. So they were probably 10 days together praying, because it says that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. But the thing about praying, we actually just need one or two people to pray to make a huge difference. And in 1800, Cape Town was a godless city. They called it the Paris of the Southern Hemisphere. They said it was an evil city. And there was lots of immorality that was happening in the city. And these two men, they were British soldiers. Their regiment was moved to Cape Town. John Kendrick and a George Middlemiss. They said they could not find one Christian in 1,000 people in Cape Town. And the one or two Christians that they found were persecuted and ridiculed for their faith. So these two men started praying, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, God, let your change this town. And they just started praying for Cape Town. And then in 1809, a earthquake hit Cape Town for 8 days. No one died, but the city was shook. Buildings were destroyed and people turned to God and they started crying out to God, and a deep conviction for sin came over them and people turned to God and the whole city got transformed of people coming to Christ. People where no one used to go to church, now they were standing queue to go into church. After 10 years, this revival moved to the Eastern Cape where people's lives got radically changed because two people decided that they were going to pray for their city. So when God's power is there, lives change. But somehow I just see it's something happens with prayer. There's something about prayer. For some reason, every revival starts and finishes because of prayer. When people stop praying, it's almost like it dies. The revival dies out as well. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Now you can imagine, these guys didn't know what to expect. They were waiting, they were praying, and suddenly this sound comes. And the building is being shook. And the Holy Spirit gets poured upon them. And when we looked at the clip now, there was in Wales, in 1900, Wales at that time was also godless, immorality, lots of drinking, people getting drunk, no one going to church. People predicted at that time that Christianity was going to die out as a religion. It probably had about 50 years. They believed then no one would go to church anymore, no one would serve God. And there was once again some Welsh people that started to pray for the country. And then here and there people started preaching the gospel, and there was this one man, Seth Roth. He was an evangelist. He preached, and on one of his crusades, Evan Roberts got radically saved. That night, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He went home, and he saw visions, and he dreamed dreams every time about 100,000. He would have these dreams, 100,000, 100,000. And then he would go to his pastor, I want to preach, I want to preach. And as all good pastors do, they give them the youth. So he took the youth. I just want to encourage the youth guys there. And he started preaching to the youth. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And many people's lives started changing. Many people came to his crusades and they started preaching, lives changed. People fell over under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to lie to you. So I just want to, the deep conviction of sin came upon them. Many people cried for mercy to God, say, God save me. Many people were laughing with joy when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Interesting thing is the mine workers would work their shift, and from the work they would come to church and they would just sit there. And as people come, one person would just say, look, I've been here for 12 hours. You can take my place. I must probably go home for a little while. Then they would go home. They had to retrain their mules and their donkeys because they wouldn't follow the instructions of the mine workers anymore, because the donkeys were responding to swearing and hitting, and now the men were singing hallelujah songs while they were working. People were talking about God wherever they came. The whole of Wales got changed. Many other countries got influenced because of this revival that happened. Edwards, what is his name? Evan Roberts saw 100,000 people got saved in 6 months. 100,000 people. Remember the quantity of people that lived in that time, in that country as well. Now in verse 3, divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So suddenly God's Spirit is there. People start speaking in tongues. They were speaking in other languages as well. I believe they were speaking in the tongues of angels as well. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, there was you can speak in a language of angels or of men, but have no love. It means nothing. So I think they were just speaking in tongues. And many people, all the known languages in the area of the time was there. And it's also mentioned here in the Bible. So no one had spoken tongues before. So they didn't know what to expect when this happened. And I think for us who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and we pray in tongues, I was so blessed this morning when we were praying at intercession. And this one person just said, guys, come, we must pray in the Spirit. And as we started praying, I could sense, oh, God was moving. God is here. God's presence was very visibly there because we started praying in tongues. And we must not underestimate the power of God when we, in faith, start praying in tongues and what can happen with that. I shared an F1 when I was working as a consultant. I moved jobs to this company and I had to do work as a consultant for Jonathan Ball. I went there. There was a report that didn't work. They were losing thousands of rand. Now I'm standing there. I've got to say something. I've got to do something. The man who designed this report, he's been working in this programming language for 15 years. What can I say? I've been involved with this thing for about 3 months. Now I'm going to, like all charismatic Christians do, oh God, help. Now I'm praying in my spirit. And as I'm sitting there 2 minutes, the next moment, I just see, hey, you know what you're doing? You're subtracting dollars from rands over there. He said, oh, thank you so much. He changed it. 2 minutes later, the report was running and I was the hero. Now, every time I came to Jonathan Ball, people called me. But I believe the Spirit of God is there not for church. It's for us to make God look good wherever we go. So when people say, how did you do it? Just praise God. God is good. The first person that was filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was people to work on the temple. It wasn't to make the temple look good and the priest, but it's for the people who worked. So God's Spirit enables us as Christians to give glory to God. In 1906, there was this man, William Seymour. He was an African-American. His father was a slave, and then he was let free. He was vrygelaat. This man loved God. He prayed. He preached on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's never experienced it. He knew something about this. He saw it in the Bible. He preached it. He prayed, and he prayed with a friend, and they will pray about 5 to 7 hours together, and then this man had to go to work. And then he'll continue praying and spending time in the Word. And then he just felt, he felt led by God to hire this building, 312 Azusa Street. And one day he was preaching, and the next moment the Holy Spirit came very powerfully, very similar, as I said, they felt the power coming upon them, and people started speaking spontaneously in tongues. No one at the time knew about speaking in tongues, and people were just speaking in tongues. They were filled with the Spirit. People came into the church. No one prayed for them. No one laid hands on them, and they would get knocked over. Many people got knocked over where they fell on the ground, and they would stand up praying in the Spirit. No one prayed for them, nothing. No one touched them. And this man was a very gentle man. He was a very gentle with all people, and he would go to someone and say, brother, you are in the flesh now. That is not from the Holy Spirit. So very gentle, but the outpouring of God was tremendous in during this man's ministry. John G. Lake came from this one of his revivals to Johannesburg. The AGM church started from John G. Lake's ministry. Also the Zion's church came from that. Unfortunately, they fell a little bit back into their forefather spirits as well. But a mighty work of God came. They didn't have instruments in their worship, in their sermons. They were just singing, but they could hear the presence of angels, hearing angels singing around them. And, you know, last year with our fast, we fasted for 3 days and we prayed. And I heard angels. And I asked the guys later on and said, who heard it? And many other people heard it as well. When we went to Stellenbosch, there is one. I asked Fred, because I think I'm not like that spiritual, but I asked Fred, said, I heard it as well. We could hear, but it was small. But I believe when God pours out his spirit, I think some people like Anushka, but she's so spiritual. She hears God speaking to her all the time. But for me, it was a big thing to hear the presence of God being here and actually hearing the angels. But all these people were talking about the presence of God, angels, miracles that happened. Many people came and wrote bad reports upon them, and you will expect that. The enemy will always come to, when God moves, the enemy will try and stop what he was doing over there. Acts 2 verse 15 says, for these people are drunk, as you suppose. When God poured out his spirit, they thought that they were drunk. Peter said, guys, they are not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. In my heyday, 9 o'clock wouldn't have made a difference for me. But anyway, that was probably those times. They didn't have bars that kept open until 3 and 4 o'clock. But he said, Peter started preaching 50 days before he denied Christ 3 times. 50 days later, he gets filled with the Spirit and he preaches his first sermon. 3,000 men turns to God. God's power came powerfully upon this man. And then he said, this, what happened here is what Joel prophesied, I think it's 300 years before that, no, about 500 years before the time, Joel prophesied that this would happen. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And then he continues, on your male servants I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. I think many people are afraid of the end times, but we can know God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. A powerful move of God will happen in the end time. So when people saying to you, the end time, go, praise Jesus. We're going to see great things coming. And God's name is going to be glorified. And it will always be about who Jesus is. And the part of that prophecy says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That now Peter preached Christ crucified. People's lives get changed. Our focus is on Jesus. And every time God pours out his spirit upon his people, it's to draw people to him. It's not to show how strong he is and how many miracles he can do. It's always because God wants people to come to him. God loves people. He wants people to come to him because we are his children and he loves us. All of us, and he wants everyone to be with him. That is who God's heart is. So whoever calls upon his name will be saved. And I think for us it's important as Christians to know how to lead someone to Jesus. At Bible school too, I asked the question and everyone was right, but they were so wrong. We must know, get your little 4 things that you know when you share the gospel with someone, that we can lead people to Christ. It's not the responsibility to do it in church. It's where we go out there. It's in the bars that we're going to meet someone and we're going to share Jesus to them. It's someone's going to be on their dying bed. You can't invite them now to church. You're going to lead them to Christ there where they are. It's going to be your housemate maybe, or someone that you drive to work with, or whatever the case might be. There's going to be opportunities, and each one of us as Christians must be equipped to help someone to come to Jesus. The Bible says, go and make disciples. It doesn't say, go and invite people to church. That's what the Bible says. All of us as Christians must be equipped to go and go. And God says, my power will come upon you. So we can know God will be with us if we do the things that He wants us to do. Verse 37, when these people heard the message of Jesus, they were cut to the heart. They were just so convicted. And they said, brother, what must we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Repent means metanoia. It's a way of thinking. It's I'm going this way. And I decide, I want to go this way. You can't solve your sin. You can't stop sinning. But in the presence of God, we can. God gives us the power to stop. But we must go to Him. We must reach out to Him. Be baptized under the water. Come out, our lives changed. It was so amazing if I encountered one again where the guy shared how their lives changed after they got baptized. Tell your story. Tell people what happened with you. With me, I had a problem with drinking. After I got baptized, I never wanted to drink again. Many people's lives change. Some people struggle still after that, but I think there's a decision that you make to go under that water. Ooh, wat gaan die mense sê? But once you've made a decision, but this is for Christ, when you come out of that water, your life changes. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I think this is something that we as believers must really seek God. The Bible says we must pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, especially that we may prophesy. God wants us to desire this gift that He wants to give to us. Jonathan Edwards in 1730 was a man that lived in Northampton in Massachusetts. The country was sexual immorality, alcohol abuse when the Spirit of God fell upon them. Many people's lives were changed. When this girl, she was a very immoral girl, got saved. And people couldn't believe that this girl got saved. So they came to church to see, is it true that this girl's life changed? And Jonathan Edwards was probably the man that preached most in that time. Many people's life changed because of his preaching. Bars went empty. Jails went empty as well. And in the streets, people were talking to one another that didn't know about God. That was the conversation that people were talking about. In this town, Enfield, he preached the sermon when sinners in the hands of an angry God. On the one hand, he had a Latin, a lich, a light. And the other hand, he had his sermon. And he read his sermon. And while he was reading his sermon, people got so convicted of sin that some fell on the ground. And they were grabbing the pillar and saying, God, save me. I'm sliding into hell. People were falling on the ground crying. A deep conviction of their sin came upon them. And many people then prayed for them. Their lives changed and they started laughing. 500 people got saved in that church. I think we're not even 200 years. So it was probably the whole church that got saved in that one sermon. In the next 20 years, he himself led 340,000 people to Christ. If you compare it to the size of America, it would have been probably 50 million now in comparison of the people that got saved. Acts 2 verse 35 says, for the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And with many other words, He bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. When God moves, people become sin conscious. They know and they sort out their sin before God. They repent and they get it fixed. We prayed Friday morning and I got this word and I thought, oh no, this is probably just my evil mind. I'm going to embarrass myself now. And then Philip just said, I'm seeing someone writing something in the sand, but I don't know what it is. And then I see Jesus come and he clears the sand and then he writes something new. And I said, I know what it is. The word is porn. So we prayed about just porn, immorality in our hearts. And I think for us as men, we must live clean lives before God. And this is what I'm seeing. Every time God moves, people become sin conscious. And we, yes, grace, God's grace is there, but God's grace gives us the power to deal with our sin. That's what grace is about, to give us the power to deal with our sin. So when it says here, save yourself from this crooked generation, that we're not part of this generation, we're a new generation. We are sons and daughters of God the Most High. We are priests for a holy priesthood. There's something that God hates sin, because sin destroys us. Sin kills us. That's why God hates sin. He doesn't hate us. He loves us and he sees what sin is doing to us. That's why God hates sin and he wants us. And that's why he paid the price as well, so that we don't have to sit under that condemnation of the sin. There was this man, Charles Finney, in 1856. He was a lawyer. One night he wrestled with God. He prayed. And he saw a vision of Jesus standing, just looking at him. And he gave his heart to him, to Jesus. He came under such conviction of sin. And he said, God, please stop, please stop. He couldn't take the presence of God on his life. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit, just spontaneously being in the presence of God. The next day, he resigned his job and he started preaching. Now, Charles Finney, many people's lives got saved, but a highlight in his life was he did an outreach in Rochester. 6 months, 100,000 people got saved. Bars closed, and in that town, crime decreased with 70%. And this is what our country needs. It needs an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Crime decreased because people turned to God. There's no more jails. The police didn't, many of these revivals, the police didn't have any work to do. They would go to the orphanages and help people because they didn't have work to do. Because people's hearts turn to God. People change and they want to be with God. They want to come into the community of God. They want to mean something for God, and lives get changed that way. Now in verse 41, it says, those who received his word were baptized. We can't baptize children. You can only receive the word when you understand what Jesus has done for us. And when we get baptized, that we understand that when we go under the water, we're dying with Christ. When we stand up, we raise with him and we get a new person in Christ. A baby can't die in Christ and stand up in him. You must first believe. You must first receive the word of God. And these people came together. They were added to the church. They devoted themselves. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. Coming to church, speaking about the word, reading to one another. They were devoted to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayers. They prayed. And awe came upon them, every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Awe. People would say, oh, wow, God is great. And it's so great sometimes for me when I can see people where God is moving in their lives, they're always in awe of what God is doing. Theo, you know what happened to me this week? And they tell this story. I'm like, oh, we're in awe of when God moves. But this happens when God pours out His Spirit upon us. Not because you have to work and I feel condemned to go and do stuff. There was a revival in 1857. After Finney preached the word, many people started praying. There was this Dutch Reformed Church in Fulton Street in New York. They've been praying for 15 years for a revival to come. When one day the Holy Spirit came mightily upon this church. And the people in New York would lunchtime run to church to go and pray. They were five people, and it quickly grew to 5,000 people a day that would come and pray in church. So the dominie said, okay, we're going to pray 8 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the afternoon and then 5 o'clock in the day. And his church was filled with people praying and seeking God. And a revival broke out in the whole of the United States. In 1857 to 1858, a million people got saved. Another million people rededicated their lives to God because people had just a desire to meet with God, that so many lives were changed. It says in 1858, one guy determined that 50,000 people got saved every week. We'll have a huge problem with cell group leaders when that happens in Somerset, when it's going to happen in Somerset West. In New England, it's a county with 250 people. 50,000 of them got saved in those 2 years. So let's say 100,000 of them were believers already. Then another 50,000 got saved in those 2 years. It's huge when God pours out His Spirit on all people. Acts 2 verse 44 says, all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds of all as any had need. I don't believe they sold everything. I read a commentary that said they didn't sold what they had excess of, and that they were distributing to people who didn't have anything. So don't think, oh my word, I've got to sell everything. So don't even go there unless you really know God is speaking to you. And day by day, attending temple together and breaking bread in homes. So this is why we come to church and we have cell group as well. We come together as a small group and we come together in church as well. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. In 1860, a revival broke out in Worcester. Maybe you've heard of Andrew Murray. His brother was John. Andrew Murray. 1857, 3 years before, in Zululand and in the Eastern Cape, a revival actually started out with the Khoza people and the Zulu people, where many Khoza people and Zulu people got saved. They had a deep conviction of sin in their lives. They turned to God. They started telling their friends and brothers about Christ. One missionary reports 600 people got saved in that missionary in 1 month. The churches there was full to capacity of Khoza and Zulu people that came to God. We don't know about these things. Now, 1860, when John Murray came, there was a place where this young girl, she was praying to God. And when you read Acts 2 verse 47, these people came together, they were praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. When you come in the presence of God and you're excited with what God has done, there's a place of praising God. And when we praise God, He inhabits the praises of His people. These people were saturated with God. They were praising God all the time. And as they praised Him, and for some reason, God, in Psalm 100, He says, enter my presence with singing. When we sing, we're not singing songs. We're entering into the presence of God. And for me, when it says they had favor with all people, we as Christians should not be persecuted if we have God in us. People should be drawn to us. And I believe there's something in us that we must really trust God to, for that place where we are filled with the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, self-control. All those things will attract people to us. I believe if we're in that place, we will have favor with all people. If there's 10 companies applying for a contract, yours would get it because we have favor from God and from people in our lives. I believe for us as Christians, this thing that we're saying, oh, I'm getting so persecuted at work, I think we're a little deceived there. I believe it's because our hearts are hardened, and that's why we're getting extra pounding from the devil. He puts his knee on us and others kick us. But it's because we need to ask God to break our hearts for people around us. In that place, I really believe we will have favor with all people. When Andrew Murray, in 1860, his father prayed for 36 years for revival. And then one day, they came together, all these pastors came together, and they were praying about it. And when Andrew Murray prayed, the men reported something happened. one of his churches. It was the church for the colored people at that stage. There was one colored girl. She said, God, I love you so much. Jesus, I love you so much. Can we just sing a song for her? And the next moment, the Spirit of God came very powerfully. The place got shook like this. They heard, and people, all of them, started praying together. They were just praying in the Spirit. They were falling on the ground. And someone called Andrew Murray. And he came then. He saw these people falling. And he said, this is your Dwemini. Stop, stop, stop. And he tried to stop. And this girl just said, this is God. This is not us. This is God. And their lives changed. And he tried to stop it. Luckily, another man that came from New York said to him, this is a revival. This is God moving here. Don't stop this. And then he became part of it. Many people's lives changed during that revival. People would sit behind bushes and God's Spirit will come upon them and they will just give their hearts to God. The whole region here was filled with God. People praying until late hours, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, just praying after church, where God just touched them mightily. Almost all the towns except Malmesbury had a move of God that came through here. So I want to finish by this. John 3 verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. When we prayed, the one guy saw a bamboo, and he said, this bamboo will only move when there's current. Then it moves. So we cannot see the wind, but we can see the movement of the leaves. We can feel it. We can hear it. We can know that there's difference. When Brian said, oil for joy, and he just believes God saying we must pick it up. And also be said, the big rains are coming. I didn't prep them. I believe God is prepping us. He's saying to us, he wants to pour out his Spirit mightily upon us. He wants to do a mighty work in us. Where people, my one friend said to me, that where he lives, these three-year-old children that walks around in alone. No one cares for them. They don't go to Crest. 3 years old, there's no one looking after them because the parents are either at work or they drunk somewhere. And when a Spirit of God comes, things changes. It's not because we feel convicted, the poor three-year-old children, what can we do? I believe there's a place where we start praying. We say, God, we want you. We want to know you. We want to seek you. Lord, who are you? Show us you. We want you. We start praying. And when God pours out his Spirit, people will just change. Lives change. That mother who is drunk changes because he gets touched by the Spirit of God. Whenever Jesus laid hands on people, he didn't pray with them and walked a walk of 2 years for them to get delivered. He said, go and sin no more. He prayed. He didn't say, go to the doctor. He just prayed in the name of you. Go and sin no more. Do you have faith? Oh, yes. I don't have faith. Give me faith. Okay, you go. So this is what I'm seeing. And this is what happens when there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, we'll do more than what he did. And for us in our lives, when we say, yes, I have the Holy Spirit, I want to ask you, is there leaves? Can you see the leaves move? Can you see the branches move? Can you see there's something? It's not because of works. It's not dead works. But it's because we're inspired by God that we can see we are born of the Spirit. Because many times we lead people through a prayer. Just close your eyes. Repent. Say sorry that you sinned. Jesus, come into my heart. Amen. And nothing changed in that person's life. But the scripture here, we're born again, said so is everyone who's born with the Spirit. There is something that you are. You have a desire to spend time in the Word. You have a desire to pray. You have a desire to break bread with believers. You have a desire to come to church. You have a desire for the things of God because you are filled with the Spirit of God. And it's a gift for all of us. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I just want to say to you, 1 Corinthians 14 says, pursue love. Desire all spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. God's Spirit is for all. God loves each one of us. He loves us. God loves us. And this is what's so amazing about God's love. But I think there's more. And as William Seymour preached on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he didn't know what it meant. I must be honest with you. I've seen little bits, small bits. But what I understand is when God's Spirit comes, it's massive. And it's beautiful. And God, the Holy Spirit is gentle. He's a gentleman. He'll never force himself on anybody. He's very easy to be quenched. He's almost like your wife, sir. She can be very easily quenched with the things we say. We must be careful what we say in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We must be careful how we act in His presence, how we come into His presence. Because the Holy Spirit gets quenched, we can resist Him just by the attitude of our hearts. But we can also be filled with the Spirit of God, where we receive power. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord God, that you said in the name of Jesus, Lord, it's to our advantage that you, Lord Jesus, must go. Because you'll give us another helper that will help us in all things that we do, that will counsel us, that will speak to us, that we can know that we'll never be alone. Because your Spirit is with us, that you're always there for us. Lord, thank you that we can know that you've not given us a spirit of fear, Lord, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control and a sound mind. Lord, that you are bigger than anything that's in this world, Lord, and that your Spirit in us is bigger than anything that the world can bring against us, Lord. And Father, that we should not feel intimidated in any situation, but we should intimidate the situation with the love of God wherever we go, because the Spirit of God is in us. Your Spirit prepared the way, and you created the heavens and the earth. You are the power of God, and when the power of God is, there's liberty, there's change. Lord, even when you came, the demons trembled and said, what have you to do with us? And you just said, go to the pigs. And they ran into the water because they are afraid of the Spirit of God. Lord, there's no movie that we watch about demons and stuff in people, and people are always afraid of it. But Lord, when Jesus is there, they are afraid of you. They are afraid of the Spirit of God because they know people are being set free in the name of Jesus. And Father, I want to plead the blood of Jesus over every person here, Lord God. And Father, I pray specifically for the men, Lord, to be set free from sexual immorality. Lord God, to be set free from pornography, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for a mighty miracle now over the heads and the minds and the thought patterns of every man in this place in the name of Jesus. And I speak the word of God into their mind in Jesus' name. And Lord, I declare these men, Lord, we as men, we will flee sexual immorality and we will pursue love and peace and joy and faith and righteousness in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, we are men of God. We are priests of God in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can take authority over all fear, over all iniquity, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, we take authority in the name of Jesus over depression, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, and we speak life over these lives, Lord, and we speak purpose over these lives in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit mightily upon us, Lord. Give us a desire for your love, for your word, for your presence, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will ignite prayers of fire, Lord, in Jesus' name. Not because we feel condemned and, I must pray, but that you speak to us, Lord, and we get excited with the words. We stand in great awe of who you are, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I want to call in those people who do not know you, Lord, to know you, Lord, to get to know you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you that we can know that there's nothing on earth, in heaven, There's nothing under the sea. There's no principality or power or demon force, Lord God, that can separate us from the love that you have for us. That we can be confident in you, Jesus, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That we can know when you paid the price on the cross, you overcame all sickness, all disease. You overcame death, Lord. And Father, I speak resurrection to lives today in the name of Jesus. We speak, Lord, that we will turn to our first love again, Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Give us a hunger for you, Lord God. Give us a thirst for you so that living water will come out from our inner beings, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit and fire, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we call this town, I call this town into the kingdom of God, Lord. We pray for the people, Lord God, who drink every Friday, Saturday and Sunday, Lord. Get drunk. People who wake up mornings, Lord, with hangovers, Lord. We call them into your kingdom, Lord. Father, we pray for children who have sex already, Lord God. They're still in school, but they're having sex, Lord. We call them into the kingdom of God, Lord. We pray for little girls to become virgins again, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray for little boys, Lord, to look after the girls and to respect them and to honor them, Lord, as godly men should, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we call the fathers, Lord. I call forth the fathers, Lord, to be examples to the children, Lord. To be examples to the wives, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray holiness over our lives, Lord God. And Father, I just want to repent for my sinful thoughts, Lord God. And for my heart, Lord God, many times to other people, Lord. But Lord, we pray that you do a new work in us, Lord. Forgive us our sin, Lord. And I thank you for your grace. Your grace that gives us the power to overcome all sin, Lord. Father, give us compassion, Lord. Give us love for one another, Lord. But above that, Lord God, I pray for, Lord, a love for you, Lord. To see you, Jesus, in everything we do, Lord. Lord God, that we will not go and seek the gifts, but we'll seek the giver. Lord, that we will not run after signs and miracles and wonders, Lord. But we'll run after the wonder, the one that created the heavens and earth, Lord. The one that is sustained by itself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we exalt you in this place in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that every time you pour out your Spirit, lives change, Lord. We can see it. And Father, as Elsie B just said, Lord, that we've been waiting for the rain for so long and now that it's here, we thank you, Lord God. And when it comes, we will know. And we thank you and we're excited to wait upon you. And we're waiting, Lord. We're waiting upon you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to ask Brian to do a song. If you're feeling empty and you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, we're not going to pray long prayers with you. We're just going to anoint you. We just ask you to come forward. We're going to anoint you. We're going to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, please come to me. I can share the best thing that you will ever do. It's better than being married. It's better than anything you can do after in your whole life. Meeting Jesus is the most amazing thing. He's awesome. He will change your life. Yes, you will go through persecution, but you'll love him for it. It's awesome. Jesus is amazing. If you want to meet him, I really want to pray with you. And I pray for God's Spirit to be poured mightily upon you in Jesus' name.